Welcome to Signs of Life, exploring survival of consciousness, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org.
I can feel you like an ocean that won't seem to let me go.
And good evening. Welcome to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host for this evening, Angelina Diana, and welcome to Signs of Life Radio. We are shortly going to be joined by Gina Rook, who's a former psychologist professor at the University of Novi Sad in Serbia, a very interesting background that started her out in psychology and ended her up in astrology, and it's a very fascinating background and a very fascinating subject. So I certainly hope you can try to be a guest with the show along with us. So if you have any questions, you can call us at 888-627-6008. Before we get to Gina, we're going to talk a little bit about the foundation and what it has to offer. If you're a new listener, we hope you can get involved and be a part of the foundation. You can have membership for free. You get great benefits from it, some great information, a great community of folks who are really on this search about life after death and understanding it. And whether you've had a loss in your life or you're on the science end of it and you're curious about survival of consciousness, the Forever Family Foundation organization is for you. There's such an amazing amount of information and ways that you can get involved, whether you'd like to volunteer at an event, whether you'd like to be a part of our online community. There's different webinars that you can take place and be a part of. Most of them are for free, and there's great afterlife discussion groups in person that happen all over the country and events throughout the year, and way too much for me to mention. There used to be a time when I started out in the foundation about 10 years ago, just a fledgling not-for-profit, all-volunteer organization where I could take 5 minutes, even less than that, and explain everything that's going on in the foundation. Now it's such a full-bodied organization and so much to offer. I would really encourage you to go to the foreverfamilyfoundation.org website. Just to mention, too, again, if I may, that we are a not-for-profit, and just by listening to the program, checking out the website, and seeing different ways that you can make a donation to this not-for-profit, you can keep programs like this on the air. You can keep webinars going online. I believe they just had a grief retreat that helps folks deal with the grief with mediums and wonderful speakers. There will be our first mediumship gathering in October. If you're curious about mediumship, if you're a studying medium, it's a great thing to do. It's going to be held in Florida. Again, so much information. Would really love you to, again, check out the foreverfamilyfoundation.org. And the last thing I want to say, again, is membership is free. And with that comes along all of this great information and a wonderful magazine that gets snail mailed. How many things do you get snail mailed to your house these days? It's always, which is great too, generated by the computer, but this is a great magazine called Signs of Life. It has gone from a few pages to now a magazine, a newsletter to a magazine. It's really a glossy, beautiful piece of artwork, in my opinion. But it also has great information on it, from the latest scientific research to questions from you that a certified medium will answer, different stories that people have had, different scientific facts, even things historically that have happened with the study of survival of consciousness. It's really a wonderful resource. And again, it gets mailed to your house for free. Membership is free. That's how much we believe in the foundation and how much we want to be a help to you. So please, again, check out foreverfamilyfoundation.org. What we're going to do is take a very short break, and when we come back, we're going to have a very interesting discussion from Gina Rook. Just imagine, if you may, someone who has a background in understanding how people work, how people, their methods of how they do things in life. And then because of a situation that happens in her homeland, she gets drawn to a hobby and it becomes a career of understanding astrology. And there's so many different kinds of astrology. We'll talk about that too. So we'll be right back. Please stay tuned. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio.
Imagine seeing spirits are spontaneously speaking indigenous Brazilian rainforest languages. Janet Mayer, a psychic medium, does just that. In her new book, Spirits, They Are Present, she opens the door to her private life in order to share her compelling, fearful, and at times humorous journey, providing evidence that when we die, we simply make a transition to another life. Spirits, They Are Present, available now at www.janetmayer.net, Amazon, and other online booksellers. Order your copy today.
Hello, I am Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist and author. You can learn much more about life after death, precognition, mind-matter interactions, remote viewing, ghost hunting, and other psychic experiences and research through the acclaimed Distance Learning Parapsychological Studies program at HCH Institute. Our courses are audio-based with additional written and video material. Call HCH at 925-283-3941 or visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com. Our courses include The Search for Life After Death, Being Psychic, Psychokinesis and Precognition, Ghost Hunting, Theories and Models of Psychic Experience, and more. Taken singly or as part of the certificate program, these courses will enrich your knowledge of parapsychology and the range of psychic phenomena. You'll learn about being psychic yourself. Visit www.hypnotherapytraining.com or call 925-283-3941 for information about our individual distance learning courses and certificate program.
Introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you can find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Program. I'm your host, Angelina Diana, for Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'd like to welcome our guest for the hour, Gina Rook, who's a former psychology professor at the University of Novi Sad in Serbia. As a psychologist, she published over 100 research papers and led her discoveries for therapy, especially in the area of paranoia and other mental diseases. So how does one go from an accomplished career as a psychologist to the study of astrology? And how do you begin to understand the different veins of astrology? There's many different types out there. And also, how do we differ it from, say, psychic ability or the psi theory? Let's welcome Gina Rook to the program as we discover and go through this journey of understanding all that. Welcome to the program, Gina.
Hello, thank you very much, and thank you very much for a nice introduction.
Oh, well, thank you, and I really enjoy having you here. I know I had the pleasure of meeting you and your husband at a Forever Family Foundation event quite a few years ago, and you're absolutely lovely and fascinating, and I'm certainly hopeful that we can bring an enlightened discussion to our listeners. Now, actually, before we begin to start talking about the astrology end of it, I think it's really interesting for our listeners to understand that your background was first in psychology in Serbia, and the impact of understanding paranoia and helping folks. So you really studied human methods of how people think and how they work in life. That was the first love as far as your life's work was concerned. Is that correct?
Yes. Yes, and actually I was very heavily scientifically oriented at first, mm-hmm. and almost for 20 years, very research-oriented. Actually, that helped me later with astrology also to keep up some very strong research goals and, you know, keep some eye on some accuracy and observation. So it was very useful. But as much as I like psychology, and it's a beautiful area, and paranoia is a very interesting and complex phenomenon, I was never happy with the boundaries which I had over there in psychology. Psychology is somehow still very conservative, in my opinion, mm-hmm. and I always was fascinated with the idea that human beings are somehow closely connected and organically connected with the universe. Mm. So that got me further, a little bit to astronomy, yeah. not so much, but lately to astrology.
Yeah, and I know and I understand that it was the civil war in Serbia that made you seek out different ways actually to support yourself, because a lot of the income that was coming in for your psychology career was basically being cut off. So what led you to actually start to say, okay, can't continue with psychology, let me make that leap to astrology? Or one would think, being a layperson, it's a leap. I know you've connected it, but what was the next
journey? Yes, it was actually the pure accident. So when the civil war started, almost next day, my salary was $1 a month instead
wow.
of $2,000, which I used to have. So I started immediately to think what to do, and I knew that only people in a country who had money were sport. It was soccer. Soccer is very popular in Europe. So, mm-hmm. so I called up some people who knew the coach of the champion team, the professional. I wanted, of course, to go to the best place. Mm-hmm. And they had problems to stay champion, so I asked, can I come a little bit to help? They said that, of course, I can show what I know. Well, I immediately saw that with psychology, I don't go far. But at this point, I had some knowledge in astrology. So I started to do charts for the players and for the games. Mm. And it got, I had some immense success with that. So, for example, for all year, I would miss perhaps 5 games, which is in soccer pretty good, yeah? Mm-hmm. So I stayed there for about 5 years altogether and completely wow. shifted my attention and started to practice and more paying attention to astrology. Yet I was still working at university, and nobody
wow.
knew that actually I'm using astrology, even in a team,
wow.
just the coach and few people.
That's so interesting. Now, I know, like here in the United States, we have our newspapers where we look every day like, oh, I'm a Scorpio and this is what that is, and do horoscopes and really, yeah, you know, it's a very like one-sided way, you know, that we look at only, say, for example, the sun sign and what's going on today in our life. And, you know, through investigating this, there's over like 80 different kinds of, say, astrology. Could you explain in layman's term for our listeners, when you say you do astrology, You work with charts. You work with, different sun and moon signs. What is your method of working with astrology?
Well, I am best at that psychological astrology, of course, mm-hmm. since I come to from area of psychology. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I use, when I do the personal horoscope, I use the horoscope as a theory of personality and a diagnostic okay. tool. So right. trying to see how can we enhance our life when there are some specific problems for some person, how to overcome them. It is always a way out. It's rarely that, our doors are closed. It's always a way out. And sometimes we can easily go through the life if we know where are we going and how. So astrology can help in that respect. Also can help in enhancing our life, especially if we want to achieve some little bit higher spiritual goals or levels, yeah? Not to just stay on some biological level of functioning. So it can be useful in various ways.
No, I'm sorry, go right ahead.
Astrology, it is presented in newspapers. It is this popular astrology, yeah? Mm-hmm. It has pluses and minuses, no matter what. But the thing is that it still exists, shows how astrology, even if it has today very bad reputation, it somehow refuses to die. It's a very resilient system. Mm-hmm. Which existed like 5,000 years, yeah? It's a plenty of knowledge there. And even today, in various forms, still managed to adapt itself, yeah, to us and raise our curiosity. Obviously, it fulfills our basic curiosities about the future and about our place in the universe.
So with psychology, astrology, you would still work with charts to weave together
the
person?
Mm-hmm. Yes, and mostly I'm doing Jungian approach because Carl Gustav Jung was a Swiss psychologist who did a lot of contribution to astrology, and he was the only one who did contribution. And after that, Liz Green and others continued to include astrology to psychology and to merge those two areas. So they are very nice knowledge over there who wants to read or who wants to enhance. And I was actually lucky enough to meet somebody, my teacher, who was one of the biggest experts in Europe in astrology, and it is a Swiss school of astrology, which is very characteristic about accuracy. So a very large attention to the details, to calculation, to find out the right time of birth, and to check the dates. So as Swiss are very famous about the precise watches, yeah, they are famous about precise horoscopes as well. So this immense precision, which was by the end ended with Kundig, who gave even some formulas how to check your accurate time of birth, claiming that whatever it's written in your birth certificate or whatever you remember, in a lot of cases, it's not true. So if we know how to check it, yes. I do find in almost 80-90% that even in a birth certificate, it's not accurately recorded. Usually, if somebody pays attention and really wants it for the purposes of horoscope, or somebody would record it correctly. But basically, it's not.
Is there a way to determine that?
Sorry?
I'm sorry. Is there a way to determine the exact birthday?
Oh, yeah, that's why I know that. And the Swiss school is the only in the world who has this tool, and it is just a small group of us. And I know about a very small group, about perhaps 20, 30 people in Denmark and here and there who belong to this Swiss school who are able to check the birth. And I think that's one of the problems today with astrology. Even if astrologers have immense knowledge and they make mistakes in prediction because they never check the time of birth which you gave them. And if you know that, for example, if I have a mistake just of 4 minutes if you're in a time of birth, my prediction will be have a mistake of 1 year. Then you know how important it is. Very often I find even half hour mistake. So then we are off for quite a few years. So if you, for example, ask me, will you get a new job? And I tell you, oh, yeah. but I did not check your time of birth. Perhaps the new job is in 4 years. Astrologer made a mistake, but basically he has a knowledge but did not apply it to the right chart. He did not check the time of the birth, did not have this knowledge.
So let's back up just a little bit so we can have our audience understand the tools in your mind that you use. So let's say someone came to you, the first thing that you would ask them would be their date of birth and time.
Yes, date of birth and time. And I immediately take it with reserve. So I need then a whole list of important dates from their life.
Okay.
And then I have this my little mathematical formulas. And then all these dates, I have to calculate them until all they come to one single point. So more dates I have, more accurate is that point, and that's how I move the point. And the understanding beyond that is Kunding, which gave that theory, is that actually, even if we have some time of birth, which is written on a birth certificate, basically our birth has to have some significance in heavens, that the planets have to be in harmony. And he found some formula, how are they in harmony? For example, the rulers of Medium Cali and has to be at the same distance as the ruler of Isis. So those are technical details. But he explained how are the planets in harmony at the birth of the person. So I have to find that point of harmony.
I see. And do you work with sun and moon as well? Or do you just
absolutely.
Use sun?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely. Absolutely, yeah,
now,
yeah, progress.
Now I'm very curious because I don't study astrology, so I'm very fascinated with it. I've spoken to other astrologers that don't quite understand the advantages or the usefulness of incorporating, say, your psychological studies and your background in that. Could you share with our audience, after you get the chart and you get the harmony flow, how then you're able to incorporate the psychology of it? Like, what's the difference of Western astrology versus psychology astrology?
In my understanding, that should be the same thing. I think,
psychology
should be much broader than it is today and such, and should include such terms and such. But, you know, when you think about the planets, how they are explained, they explained in terms of our characteristics and behavior, yeah? So for me, as a psychologist, it's much easier than to understand the meaning of their relationship in a personal horoscope when I do mapping at a certain time. Because everybody says, for example, square of Sun and Saturn means that and that, yeah? But with my psychological knowledge, if I, you know, address all these attributes, you know, and they are always in psychological terms, for example, anger, fear, and such, yeah, then I can much better, I do have advantage. And I think in many cases, frankly, I would need as a prerequisite for people who are dealing with personal horoscopes to finish psychology, I would even go to that limit to do it really good. Not to remain just technical, you know.
Right. Because I know that there are some astrologers that aren't as, I'd say, as well-rounded as you. They pick and choose from astrology. Like, I know one astrologer that works with just the elements, which I don't quite understand how you can just do that. I would imagine you'd have to utilize planets, too, like the elements fire, air, water, and earth, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And then under each element, there's a certain sign that's kind of denoted to that, correct?
If you look at the different
elements, the elements are actually described as personality traits. Is that correct?
Yes. And we are back to psychology.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was trying to tie in. So then your background in psychology could help you delve in deeper as to why they might fall under a certain element.
Absolutely. Correct. And I would really advise anybody who is dealing with astrology would be much more successful if finish something, some courses or anything from psychology is really precious. I don't think I would ever be able to do well astrology if I'm not a psychologist, frankly, because these technical terms and, you know, just the relations between planets can be meaningless and don't give you the full picture, even if you ask for some advices from astrologer. They're extremely formal and extremely technical. They do give you a very general view of life. But, you know, they are all described in psychological terms. So you need some knowledge from a psychology.
That's interesting. Now, as far as understanding, because I'm a psychic medium, so I know, like, when
yes,
I sit with
yes.
someone psychically,
and
I'm picking up on the energy. Oh, well, thank you. But I'm curious as to how much of your psychic nature falls into play when you're doing, say, a reading for someone.
I must admit that it's very necessary to be very perceptive.
Mm-hmm.
So I know that I had to accumulate incredible lot of knowledge from astrology and from psychology to get to the level where I want to be. I'm still not there, and I don't think I will ever be, but I like challenges, and I have still life, so I'm learning. Perception and good perception helps a lot. Now, how far this perception goes and how much it goes with, together with the intuition, I don't know. Sometimes I think that intuition doesn't help me. Sometimes I think it does. So it must be the combination of both.
There you go.
I think the knowledge first to lead you, because that's how it's defined, yeah, for 5,000 years. There is plenty, you know, the old Arabs, the Mesopotamia, the Hellenistic astrology and such. It's really a huge body of knowledge. If you have it, then to include intuition, of course, where to go. But in the case of astrology, I do think knowledge goes first.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about as far as the psi theory or the idea that all knowledge is already predestined or it's out there already, and that as we live our lives, coincidence or synchronicity kind of fall into play. What's your thoughts on that as far as when you sit down with someone and you know that you have a formula, mathematical formula? We've also now ascertained that you utilize some psychic ability. What would you say to someone as far as the idea that all information is out there already? Does that fall into play with the flow of astrology, or is it something that works against astrology?
Well, actually, that was the idea of Carl Gustav Jung, who established the psychological astrology. He found out studying dreams that in dreams we have these archetypes. Those are these universal pictures and ideas which are common to us as a human beings, as the idea of mother, yeah, caretaking, father, power, snake, the power and such. And he found that those symbols have a great correspondence with astrological symbols and with constellations from the zodiac and from astrology. So he made the conclusion that actually all this observation which was done and all this knowledge from humans are just projected to the celestial bodies. So it existed all time and is immanent for human nature. We projected our soul and our core. That was his idea. Now, astrology will not go, it's a system, so it doesn't answer to philosophical questions. Do those celestial bodies direct influence our life, or they are just signs of events to come? Astrology is not answering to that question. Now, can we answer to the question? I don't know. I like to think that perhaps it does exist, that future is sometimes in some way written.
I see.
That's just my feeling dealing with astrology and such.
Because a lot of people will ask when, I know they sit down with me, they say, you know, is my future set in stone? Is there a rhythm of energy out there that no matter what I do, the universe is going to work this way or that way. And what I find interesting completely about astrology is that it's, to me, it's separate from that because you're basing it on the movement of the planets.
Yes.
And if,
yes.
And if yes. you work with the movement of the planets, I'm assuming, because I'm not an astrologer, that it's going to give you a sense of your qualities to help you work through life so that
exactly.
if things happen, you
exactly.
can
exactly. It's
it.
Like a guideline. Yes.
Right.
Yes, and it is a yes, and I understand as I can see it, it's a lot of space. Is our life to some extent determined? Yes, it is, because we need to die and such and such. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, even those planets, how are they located and how we define their relations, there is plenty of room for our individual influence to that. But I'm sure that some limits are there which are like determined.
It makes sense. And I think that it's kind of interesting when people, as a layperson, they sit down, they expect, even though you can give a sense of, well, if the planets are lining up this way and this situation feels like there's harmony in it, then yes, if you want to go for the job, this is a good time to do it, right?
Yes.
It's not that the planet's going to say on this day, this is when you have to go for a job. It's the flow
absolutely,
of
absolutely.
Yeah.
And it will
yes.
usually define you some period of time, which is like open door for something, and still mm-hmm. depends on you, will you do it really or not? Depends on your
right.
energy, you know, how close are you to your own destiny, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Or you are
and
far
of course,
apart.
Right. And I think that's what I like about astrology, is it puts the responsibility back on the person.
Yes,
you know?
Exactly. You are still an individual with your own powers and your own will, within some, of course, limitations and such. And, you know, astrology can define you some of those limitations or some of those opportunities.
Now, do you feel that with the idea of people seeking out the understanding of their charts, and what's coming up for them, that have you seen a progression of, say, clients that have come to you where you've seen how astrology has shifted how they view themselves and they're actually living a better quality life?
It is, of course, it's a huge difference between people who are coming, you know.
Mm-hmm.
If people are coming to with the questions just for this biological level, you know, will mm-hmm. I have children, job, marriage, and such?
Right.
It's different. Their mind is set on that, and some
right.
of them will function on that level, and
gotcha.
They will not go much further. They will judge mm-hmm. My accomplishment just if I did the good date for that or the wrong date. Yeah. Am I good
you.
Or not? On the other hand, there are people very sophisticated who are coming with, you know, very complex questions about the life and really guidance. With them, I do see huge progress. I do see they're coming back. They like to hear more. They call often back and ask for discussion and such. And actually, that part is very stimulating for both sides.
Hmm. Now, how would you recommend someone utilize an astrologer like yourself? Do you find that it's good if they're in a place in their life where they see the problems, or they're in a good place in their life? And second part of that question, how often should someone see an astrologer?
Well, of course, it's a very complex question. I think
yes.
there are just type of people first who will deal with that, who not, yeah? Some
yeah.
type of people would immediately reject it, and it's almost no way to convince them otherwise. Then people who are interested, they are interested, of course, for extremely large number of topics or everything what they want. What I do think is that astrology is extremely useful, and if you have a good astrologer, it's a great guidance in life. It can be like having a psychologist next to you or the priest, yeah? whom you can address some question both in good and bad times. Why I learned to do astrology, to see what I'm doing and where I'm going and how much can I influence that. And that I would advise to everybody as well.
And when someone I'm sorry, go ahead.
I don't know if I answered the question.
No, well, you did, but I think the other second part was how often, because I know, like, as a psychic, there are some people that want to see me every week, and I can't.
Yes, no,
to me,
no.
That's so wrong. You know, it's so wrong because they're not utilizing their own ability. They're relying on someone else to live their life for them. Yeah, so how often do you recommend someone see...
Well, I don't know, twice a year for sure. That's for example, a nice base, because you do this chart for the year with some, you know, line up some opportunities for this year and such, and then check perhaps once or twice, I don't know how many times, but for sure not more than once in a few months.
Mm-hmm.
But once in a few months, it's pretty good to check.
And do you feel that you've been doing this work for a long time, do you feel that energy in general has a flow, that it shifts for people every 3 or 4 months, or do you find certain signs, certain people with certain elements, their energy tends to change more erratically with the different personalities that you see? Like, for instance, with someone with a fire element who's like an Aries, Leo, and a Sagittarius.
Right.
Would someone with a water sign who's like a Cancer, Scorpio, and Pisces,
right,
would their energy shift differently because of the different personality?
Oh, absolutely. It's completely different. But if they, for example, like astrology and want some advices or, you know, some results of this calculation for astrology, in a few months or, I don't know, 2-3 times a year, it's good. Because we reconnect with all this information which I gave and get through them again. So they get connected again with all that information, you know, the strength of that connection and information get loosened with the time. So
okay.
That's how, for example, I saw it working. If it's more often, if it's like daily or weekly, then it's a chaos. We don't have then. Yeah, we even sometimes don't let those events to work which would otherwise work. We mess up them.
I see. And as far as, like, I know with your experience, once you get someone's birth date and then you get their time of birth and you start putting the charts together and then they ask questions. When you have a sense, because of your psychology background, of how they're responding to you when they're hearing the information, do you have to block their responses and stick to the core of what you're getting? Because I notice, like, when I read some folks, and I don't have a psychology background, but I notice, and it would be interesting, I don't want to take too much studying on, because being a psychic medium takes enough study, but I notice that there are some folks that they respond a certain way when you channel information, and they can't seem to get their head out of what I told them physically, and they're not looking at the spirituality of it. Would you say that there's a certain sign that tends to react that way? I hope I'm making my question clear, because I guess what I'm trying to say, in other words, because of your background in psychology, you might be able to fashion your responses in a different way because you already know how they're going to respond back.
Absolutely.
Like, for instance, an Aries might respond differently than a Cancer when you give them information about their job.
Absolutely. Absolutely. First, they talk in different ways. So I usually naturally adjust myself. I'm in some way myself pretty adjustable. So perhaps that's why one of the keys of the success. I adjust how I talk with them. Then I addressed what I tell them and how I tell them, because I want them to accept what I found in the best possible way,
right?
In a way that they can accept it. And I'm trying to avoid then some traps of their own behavior, you know, or some. Because if I find something and I'm completely sure that, if I'm not sure, we will discuss. I will ask them and such, so they will help me to clarify some things. But if I'm sure, then I want to present it in that way that they will accept it. Because that's why I did it, to help them, yeah? To somehow...
Right.
Just a little bit change their mind. So astrology is very specific language. So usually it can a little bit change the mind of person, yeah, in different way, give you new options, new horizons. So then it's really necessary to adjust it. I never expect from people to adjust me. Always I adjust to them. And knowing enough astrology and psychology, I know how to adjust.
There you go. I think that would be advantageous, actually, to my field, practitioners.
Yes.
From a practitioner's point of view, because it would make, you know, explaining things a little easier. I'm very curious. I'm going to ask you one more question, and we're gonna take a break. But I'm very curious, in your everyday life, when you're not reading someone, do you find yourself able to say to yourself, oh, that's definitely a Scorpio. Oh, no, that person's definitely a Leo. Like, do you start quantifying or qualifying people? Or is it more of a psychology thing where you go, oh, this person's definitely dealing with fire. They seem to have spontaneous and impulsive behavior. And, you know, how do you utilize this work in your everyday life?
You know, that part I abandoned completely when I was younger, since I'm dealing with both of these areas for 40 years, you know. So when I was younger, I enjoyed to do that. But then I realized that I don't have life of my own. So now when I meet somebody or such, I put everything on the side. You know, I like to enjoy the topics or discussion, or sometimes even not to mention astrology or psychology, to put that completely aside. Because to quantify it and to define somebody, it takes a lot of effort and take your time, attention off of that person, yeah?
That's true.
So I did it a lot when I was young and very ambitious in that area. But then I realized, nah, I'm not doing it anymore. So now sometimes I have some spikes, you know, in head if somebody really jumps out, like, but just as for the moment. Otherwise, I'm trying just to communicate with people and to have a good time and good topics with them.
There you go. We're speaking with Gina Rook. We are going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have some closing thoughts for you. You're listening to Signs of Life Radio. We'll be right back.
Starseed Gems Studios in Cocoa, Florida fuses cremation ashes within art glass, making beautiful stones. The ashes are visible in the darkness and resemble a beautiful night sky. Starseed gems, developed by the parents of a young man who passed away, are set in hand-sculpted silver and gold settings. Prices start at $150. Visit www.starseedgems.com or call 321-632-7770. That's www.starseedgems.com or 321-632-7770. The CAMLAC Center is putting birth and death back together again. Aimed at changing the way we look at death, the CAMLAC Center was founded in 2002 as a publishing company and teaching center. When we know that there is nothing but life, we realize that birth and death are events in time and space. Our grief can open us to other dimensions of reality and allow us to experience our loved ones who are no longer in the physical body. Our events and products are based on personal experiences of survival of consciousness after physical death and decades of research into how death has influenced the development of our consciousness. Visit www.camlac.com, that's K-A-M-L-A-K.com, for articles, videos, books, and more to help you cope with the loss of a loved one.
Hello, my name's Piero Calvi Parisetti, MD. I invite you to discover my video course on Evidence for Life After Life, a professional counseling resource for the bereaved and the dying.
Transform the fear of death, heal the pain of a loss by learning about life after life.
For more information and a free preview, visit www.drparisetti.com. That's drparisetti in one word.
I would like to introduce you to the Forever Family Foundation, a nonprofit organization whose mission is to provide support for families who have suffered the loss of a loved one. We believe in the continuity of the family, even though a member has left the physical world. We invite anyone who's trying to cope with the loss of a loved one to contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707 or on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. For years, people have been reporting communication from those no longer in our physical world. Historically, science and religion have taught us to ignore such messages. Yet, there is now substantial scientific evidence to the contrary. In response to this, the Forever Family Foundation has developed a sign registry to demonstrate the existence of this other dimension. On our website, people can register signs that they, after passing, plan on communicating to a specific loved one. Upon the registrant's passing, the stored information can be verified by the recipient of these signs. Participants will be taking part not only in a grand scientific experiment, but in providing the greatest gift of all, the knowledge that we survive our physical death. For more information, contact the Forever Family Foundation at 631-425-7707, or you could find us on the web at foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Or to register a sign, go directly to thesignregistry.com.
Welcome back to Signs of Life, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation.
Welcome back to Signs of Life Radio, brought to you by the Forever Family Foundation, located on the web at www.foreverfamilyfoundation.org. I'm your host, Angelina Diana. We've been speaking with the lovely Gina Rook, who is a former psychology professor and now a very well-versed practitioner of astrology. And I wanted to let our audience know how they could get a hold of you if they were interested in your services and in your experience as an astrologer.
Everybody can reach me. The best is on email. It is ginarook@gmail.com or over the phone, 702-998-0498. I am in Las Vegas.
Oh, that's wonderful. Las Vegas must be really nice this time of the year.
Yes, it is. Yeah, it is a beautiful city.
Yeah, it's really an exciting place. I haven't been up to go sometime. I've just been
and all, almost half of the psychics of the world are here trying to get
really?
Money.
Really? I didn't know that. That's interesting.
Oh, God. Yes. It's a whole extreme network of psychics.
Oh, that's really intriguing. Well, I've just been informed by the producer that we have a few more extra minutes because we started late. I did have one more question I wanted to ask you. When you're sitting with someone and you're delivering the information, of course, you've spent time before they've given you information. You take a little time to look at the charts, and then you meet back with them. Is this usually done one-on-one in person or over the phone? How do you normally practice your astrology?
Well, I prefer in person. That's the best.
Okay.
Because we can spend as much time as we want to discuss and to clarify things, because perhaps some of my terms are not good enough. As you can hear, my English is not so good as I would like it to be. And
are you kidding me? You sound great.
Thank you. thank you, but I'm not happy with my grammar especially, but I'm doing my best. It can be done in writing, it can be done over the phone, but in that case, actually in all cases, I do like more meetings. I do not think that in one meeting we can discuss somebody's chart and everything. So first piece what I'm giving to somebody, I expect them to come back and to discuss and to clarify with more questions or some specifics. What do they want from me to see from the future tendencies or events and such. So usually I do have two or three meetings with the people, with the person. I think it's complex. Yes?
Yeah. Would you say that it would involve some spiritual counseling in that too, since now that you have
a sense
of the direction that they're in?
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely, absolutely. And I think that it is a most important part of spiritual development of us. It's not that everybody asking for that, but I do usually offer that. And I like to work on that. I think that's one of the great advantages of astrology.
Now, how do you think you're working towards having science understand this? Because I can understand, you know, you have a scientific background, you have an understanding in research, and now you're working through the modality of astrology. How do you think your work can fit as a modular way into the scientific world? Because we can understand how it could help someone individually on their life path. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that I am doing it in the most scientific way possible, since I know what is science. It is the way is not at all accepted in science, and I think it's up to the science to open up and to open up new horizons, which for sure will be open. It can be like this, you know. We can't be so separated from the universe as science tries to separate us. Once that line will be broken. Now it's not, so are we walking the line?
Right.
But I do believe that astrology is still very adaptive. It showed its adaptability, you know, toward religion, toward mysticism, toward science. So somehow found a way to survive until today. So I do think that it will survive in the future as well, not with such a prominent position, and it was once in a history, but it is up to the science now to change the boundaries, and it will for sure. Some challenges will present itself, and they will change the position.
Yeah, hopefully, because I think it's really a great, I know, like for me being in the metaphysical world, how difficult it is to even have, you know, with the few scientists that were willing to work and talk with a medium like Dr. Gary Schwartz, they were, you know, willing to do experiments and talk with you, that it's very, I think it's, for me, looking at your work, it feels like a breath of fresh air, because it seems like you're just on that brink of saying, hey, I'm a psychologist and doing astrology. Take a look at that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Where, you know, here I am, you know, being a medium, they're going, yeah, right, you talk to dead people. You know? So I appreciate your work so much, and I'm really hopeful that the next frontier, the next step is that scientist opens and welcomes you with loving arms so that they can start bridging the gap. And I think that's what your work is doing. So I want to say, Gina, thank you so much for the work that you do.
Thank you very much for nice welcome as well.
And thank you so much for spending this hour with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
You have a good evening. I want to thank everyone for joining us. You've been listening to Signs of Life Radio. I'm Angelina Diana, and please be sure to check out the Forever Family Foundation website, foreverfamilyfoundation.org. Have a good night.